status of a value. For them, the idea of the value freedom of the science was an extension of the objectivistic illusion that there can be perception without a perspective from which perception takes place. For scientism, values seem added, superimposed on facts rather than being manifest in the rarely conscious choice of object definitions in the first place. As Adorno was to remark later, the very concept of value is already an expression of a situation in which the consciousness of the objectivity of reason is eroding. Footnote 20, text. External standards have to order what is falling apart. When we ignore the value choice of our perspective in determining the kinds of facts we deal with, the excommunication of that perspective makes it and the fact appear independent of one another. The belief in the value neutrality of one's approach, the assumption of a suspended perspective, simply means one has no categories with which to recognize that perspective. Without a theory to articulate and to account for it, it becomes literally invisible. That values and decisions can be other than conscious, external or imposed, recognizable as explicit tenets. One may accept or reject that values may be built in screens of perception and rules of association did not commonly occur to the advocates of value freedom. Thus, formal logic and naive empiricism seem to constitute a perfect working alliance, determined not to inquire into their own social ideological genesis and function, both insisted on an ultimate basis of knowledge. Rules of interference or facts were irreducible. They are simply given and thus premises, not proper objects of investigation. For critical theorists, on the other hand, there were no such things as absolute premises of any kind. Like any conception, premises were human products, usually the latest notion of an ultimate truth, which thus became paradigmatic, that is, the basis of further thought, from which it as a fundament remained exempt. Rules of interference then appear as function of a reified truth, yet the implicit genesis of logic itself lies in social behavior, Adorno asserted. According to Durkheim, the forms of logical propositions are shaped by social experiences such as generational and property relations. Footnote 21, text. This contingency is not recognized as such. For strategic reasons, particular interests always pretend to be universal ones, often persuasively even to themselves. Page 376. That the interest should be repressed is very much part of that interest. Habermas was to comment later. Analogically, the empiricists' fetishisms of fact ignored the facts were, after all, products of collectively developed modes of perception, that we only know mediated facts and that even unconscious theories and methods are the mediators. Screens and collating rules for raw data, actively shaping them into particular objects, facts or events, as Dewey knew. To find out what is given is an inquiry which taxes reflection at the uttermost. Footnote 22, text. Marcuse once noted that Greek skepticism had risen with doubts about sense perception, undoubted by positivistic and realistic claims that the world is simply everything that is the case in the early Wittgenstein's famous formulation. Critical theorists insisted that what is the case the supposed facts are themselves only something conditional. Footnote 23, text. Positivists of the Vienna Circle defended themselves by proclaiming that in such criticism, problems of appropriate description are confused with questions of fact, which leads to seemingly ontological problems, footnote 24, text. Yet this argument only shifted the actual question. Where do the descriptive categories come from, and how are facts accessible without such categories? For the origins and conditions of knowledge are not at the same time the origins and conditions of the world, footnote 25, text. And their problematic historical relation cannot be eliminated by methodological fiat. The consequence of such an attempt was pinpointed later by Adorno. An object gets investigated by a research tool which, through its own formulation, decides what the object is, a simple circle. Footnote 26, text. The dubious claim, Cartesian in origin, was the fact somehow were there, patiently waiting to be picked up, discovered, and that perceptual perspectives are basically distortions which had better be abandoned in favor of the neutral and universal tools, methods which simply render facts as they are, an sich. Even Popper, who did not become their major target and antagonist till much later, compare part Roman II of this work, occasionally conceded the facts were products of theories or a joint product of language and reality, which should mean that facts really have the cognitive status of hypotheses. Yet Popper still consists on the possibility of basic statements, evidently forgetful of his stringent criticism of Carnap's equivalent protocol statements. Carnap had contended that simply observational statements could take the place of sense data as evidence if these could be agreed on intersubjectively. This, of course, merely shifts and begs the question. Page 377. For no one really takes sense data as his final reference point anyway, but processed data mediated through language and perceptual conceptual categories. Logical positivists seem perfectly unaware, despite Wittgenstein, that following the progress of ethnology and psychology, the constitutive function of language for sense data has been demonstrated. The given is not just expressed through language, but formed as well. Footnote 27, text. For all their proclaimed skepticism, logical positivists doubted everything except the position from which they doubted. Rather than examine the intersubjective protocol language and its contingency, they simply and naively used it and accepted as a fortunate circumstance, Carnap, that a shared descriptive language exists. However, the uncritical acceptance of a widely shared form of mediation does not indicate that it is not a mediator. On the contrary, its universality only hides that very function through its monopoly. A mononistic, unified science seemed the ultimate goal of logical positivists. Such mediators delimit what kind of data are perceived at all. If they constitute the facts, then other facts are literally imperceptible as long as this mediator prevails. The more universal it is, the fewer new or alternative facts will emerge. The shared observation language does not guarantee, but may even prevent access to facts. The belief in witchcraft was fought with the same means of a strictly rationalistic philosophy. Yet in view of the great quantity of protocol statements which intersubjectively confirmed the existence, observation of witches, the empiricists should not even have been able to insist that witchcraft was unlikely. Footnote 28, text. Horkheimer, marked. Traditional empiricism in this respect was not half as naive as its modern successors. Horkheimer suggested, however, much Locke and Hume, through their liberalist premises, considered facts and sense evidence the final arbiter of knowledge. Their philosophy, at least, contains this dynamic element. It refers to a knowledging subject, footnote 29, text, just as Leibniz and the other, the rationalist side, had insisted on a substantia ideans. When this active subject was exposed as historical, it should have been obvious that the perceptual filters were historical too. The facts given to us by the senses are socially preformed in two ways: through the historical character of the perceived object and through the historical character of the perceiving organ. Footnote 30, text. This subject is, of course, not an idiosyncratic individual trying to generalize. When Horkheimer speaks of a general subjectivity on which individual cognition depends, footnote 31, text, he has in mind the collective subjectivity on an entire culture or stage of consciousness. Every culture carries its implicit theory, which screens and packages sense stimuli, and we could not even perceive these sense stimuli as particular objects otherwise. Page 378. Every protocol or basic statement contains such cultural and anthropological presuppositions. Footnote 32, text. They are truly independent variables of observation. They are objective in precisely the sense that they are the standard of meaning. The social construction of reality, as we would now say, is what positivists of necessity has to exclude. Admitting it would have cost their method its claim to independence and universality, as Schütz was to put it somewhat later, all forms of naturalism and logical empiricism simply take for granted this social reality. Intersubjectivity and language are simply presupposed as the unclarified foundation of these theories. They assume, as it were, that the social scientist has already solved his fundamental problems before scientific inquiry starts. Footnote 33, text. Like Schütz, Horkheimer would extend the critique to the sciences in general. It makes little sense to divide the context of Genesis from the context of validation. We can do so only at the price of the uncontrolled operation of the former in the controlling categories, footnote 34, text, of the latter. Hybrid concepts such as natural law or the obvious legal or religious origin of the concept of cause are only the most blatant examples. Here lay one of the reasons for critical theorists to reject the notion of hypothesis, if not deduced, where but random serendipitous hunches of the private scientists. The paradigmatic reasons for accepting a hypothesis as valid might not be that different from those formulating it in the first place. The very expression of an educated guess suggests the operation of a subterranean logic of experience, a kind of pre-theoretical cultural competence, which alerts us to some features and possibilities of experience rather than others, and provides certain modes of organizing that experience rather than others. Marcuse praised Dewey for suggesting, at least, that the verifiability of a hypothesis is by far not as important as its directive power. Footnote 35, text. If this is true, then our present consciousness, working reason, through the hypothesis it generates, is pregnant with the future, and our desirous anticipation may be cognitive signpost, pointing to the fact that the factuality has become conceivable for us. Footnote 36, after desirous anticipation. Text. Page 379.